I will, but yours be done. Let's please open our Bibles to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 8. And I'll start reading from verse 26 through verse 39. Luke chapter 8, verse 26 through 39. Then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For it had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles. And he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. Jesus asked him, saying, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," because many demons had entered him. And he begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. Verse 32. Now a herd of many swine was feeding there on the mountain. So they begged him that he would permit them to enter them, and he permitted them. Then the demons went out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. 34. When those who fed them saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what had happened and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also who had seen it told them by what means he who had been demon possessed was healed. Then the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. And he got into the boat and returned. Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged him, Jesus, that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you." And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jehovah, this is the hour of your food, O Lord. We pray that, Lord, may your word become flesh, O Lord, and may it dwell in our hearts. In this short time that we are going to look into your word of liberty, Father, we pray that, Lord, your Holy Spirit would explain this passage to us, that we would indeed receive from you today. As we have prayed earlier on, O Father, we pray that we are not just here to mark time as Christians, but we indeed covet your fellowship. We pray that we would indeed meet with you, Father, for it's only you who has the word of life in your hands. And we turn our attention to you, Father, as we have sung in songs this morning, in the reading of your word. We pray that as we even further go into sharing your word, we pray that, Lord, your Holy Spirit will make things clearer unto us, as your word promised us, that your Holy Spirit, our helper, will come and remind us of you, Father. Let this be our portion this morning, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. The account of this story that we've just read is recorded in three different places in the Bible. The first one is in Matthew chapter 8, and the second is also in Mark chapter 5. The version that we read is in Luke chapter 8. There are little differences in the account, but they all narrate the same story. One adds a little to the other. But Luke seems to be a little bit more comprehensive on this account of this encounter that Jesus had. Prior to this event, if we take our Bibles back, Jesus had been teaching on the mountaintop. Those passages or the sermons that we label the sermons on the mount. Those beatitudes. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the hungry, for they shall be filled, etc., etc. He taught so many parables of the sower. He taught us about us being the salt of the earth. And many things like that. Then after he had finished on the mountain, he decided to depart and go to the gatherings, the opposite side of Galilee. And that's the story that we read. So departing from the mountain, he told the disciples they should go, let us go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. I was just doing some little bit of research, even though we call it a sea, it's actually a lake in Israel. And in this city of the Gadarenes, is a city that is known to be, that is historically a non-Jewish city. It's occupied by people who are influenced, Gentiles, really. So Christ had been teaching on the mountain to the Jews. Then he now decided to go over to the other side of that of the lake, which is a Gentile city, the city of Gadarenes. And that's why, you know, I'm just using my own analysis or my own logical conclusion that that's why we have, you know, the Jews generally would not be raising swine or pigs for profit. So it was a Gentile city. If you go back into history and we research that, that's that part of the world. In this passage, we read about a man who was possessed by demons. When we reflect back on our lives, although, you know, this sermon is not about if a man is possessed by demons or can man be possessed by demons. The Bible records it here that, yeah, we see an example of man being possessed by a demon. What are similarities that we can draw from this particular passage? that we read about, that we've just read. In a way, when we look back at our lives, we are Gentiles, all of us on this call this morning. We weren't seeking for God. We were lost, completely lost in the world. We were naked. We were out of our mind. Some of us could reflect back some many years ago, the life that we lived, far away, not seeking, not looking for God, not seeking Him. We were out of control. We were on a self-destructive path. We were out of our mind. Not necessarily everyone was possessed by the devil, but we are influenced. And a life outside of Christ is a life that is influenced by the devil. We had no clue of where we were going, of what we were doing. But Christ, in his mercy, you know, as is recorded about who Christ will be, He said He will be the deliverer of mankind. He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever shall believe in Him shall be saved. In the book of Colossians, let's turn to that passage. Colossians chapter 1. And I'll read from verse 21 to 22. It says, for it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled. In the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. That is who we were prior to meeting Christ. We were completely alienated, every single one of us. And the Bible says that for we have all sinned and we are falling short of the glory of God in Romans 3:23. That was the life that we were living. From the youngest, you know, we don't have to, even the youngest in our midst, we don't have to teach them how to sin before they naturally, we were all sinners. But we thank God for who Jesus is. In this passage that we read in Luke chapter 8, and all the other three places that it was recorded, the incident that happened just before this Christ crossing over to the opposite side of Galilee was preceded by the story that we are all aware of, the wind and the wave that obeyed Christ. If I'm just going to read some parts before Luke 26. It says from verse 22, it says, now it happened on a certain day that He got into the boat with His disciples, and He said to them, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. And they launched out, but as they sailed, He fell asleep, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to Him and awoke Him and saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. And He arose and rebuked the wind and the raging water. And they ceased, and there was a calm. But He said to them, where is your faith? And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, who can this be? Let me read that place again. Then He arose and He rebuked the wind and the raging waters, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And He said to them, where is your faith? And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? For he commands every wind and water to obey him." You know, when we look at this story of Christ had a purpose. He told them, "Let us go to the other side." He knew what he was going to do, go and do there. The enemy is a warrior against our soul, against anything or anything that has to do with our salvation. You know, why the sea and the wind decided to become a storm when they were on their way to the other side of Galilee. I wonder why. But we can, you know, on all the three accounts of before God, you know, before Jesus got onto the other side of that Galilee to address this man with a demon, the Bible, in all those three passages, it records that storm arose, a sudden storm came about, but that did not deter Jesus. Jesus knew what his purpose was, which was to save mankind, for God so loved the world. You know, Christ has gone a great length, a great deal for each and every one of us. He had calmed the raging sea. He had quietened the storm to get to us. The devil does not want any of us to be saved. But Christ knew what his purpose was. He knew that he had a plan. There was a man somewhere in that tomb who has been afflicted by the devil, a son of his, a soul that needs to be saved. And Christ calmed that sea for that purpose. What has Christ done for you to get to you? Was it the answered prayer of your grandmother's praying earnestly for her lost child or son or daughter? What were the raging storms that Christ had to overcome for each and every one of us? What a great salvation Christ has given unto us. It was as if the devil knew his intention and did everything to derail his plan. But Jesus was not perturbed. He calmed the sea on behalf of this man. The devil tried to bring obstacles to delay his salvation, but he did not succeed. Let's think about ourselves and the hoops and obstacles that Christ had to overcome to save us today. Were you once a sinner, lost in your sin, as each and every one of us was? Or are you still in sin, and today is your day of salvation, that you still don't yet know the Lord? This is your hour. This is your day. Christ is reaching out to you today. And Christ will go to any length. He will jump any hoop to get to us. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So as we read this passage, there are quite some few lessons that we can learn from it. One of the things that stand out to me, let me continue reading from verse 28. He said, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" You know, this reminds me of the story that we read of in Acts, Acts chapter 9, when Paul, and Saul, who was also known as Paul, met with Christ on the way of Damascus. All Jesus said to him was, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And at that very moment, if you look at the response that Paul gave back, and he said, "Who are you, Lord?" The demons, when we actually meet with Christ, you know, we would know. It was the same story in, I think it was in Daniel, when the three men were put in the fire. There was a fourth person who appeared with them. And Nebuchadnezzar, you know, when he saw, he said they saw the fourth man is like the Son of God. When Jesus shows up in our lives, we will know who he is. Nobody can deny him. Even the Bible records that on the last day, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. But it's better that we confess here on earth that Jesus is Lord, so that we can, you know, the confessions of those, like the story that we learned some weeks ago of that rich man who declared, who knew that, you know, Abraham, you know, was reaching out to Lazarus to come, and it was too late for him. But it's better for us to declare him as Lord, as our Lord and our Savior on this side of eternity. When the madman saw Jesus, he cried out and fell before him with a loud voice, saying, "What have I to do with you, the Son of God?" In James chapter 2, verse 19, even demons believe and they tremble. When Jesus shows up in our lives, we will know that we have met with Christ. Have you met with Christ? If you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, you should really ask yourself, have you really met with Christ? We have to all meet with Christ so that on the last day, we would indeed fellowship with him. We have no other choice than that. Then the demon said, in her continued reading, "I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for he had often seized him and kept him under guard and bound and with chains and shackles. And he broke the bonds and was driven by the demons into the wilderness. And that's what the devil does in a person's life. He will drive us into the wilderness. He will drive us completely away from Christ. You know, the evil that the heart of man is capable of, unless Christ redeems, unless Christ saves, we are all but lost. Then Jesus asked him, saying, "What is your name?" And he said to him, "Legion," because many demons had entered him. And they begged him that he would command them to go out in, not to go out into the abyss. You know, that's the, when Christ meets with demons, the only choice that they have is, you know, they know that the end, their end is doom. And that's why, you know, but they didn't want to go before their time. So they begged Christ to send them out into the swine. Then it, verse 33, then the demons went out of the man and entered the swine, and they had run violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. There are debates whether, you know, animals can be possessed. I remember the story that Sister Success shared some years ago of a dog that was possessed. Whether it's possessed or not, I don't know. But, you know, the lesson to learn here that Christ has power over everything. He who has the power, who created everything, has power over the storm, over the wind. He has power over human beings. He has power over animals. He can do and undo. And, you know, we know that Christ, his whole purpose here was to save this soul. He was more concerned about the status of this life, of this soul. He wanted to, you know, break, you know, as the word of God says in Isaiah, that he had come to break every shackle, to deliver us from every bondage, to set us free from the sin, from the shackle of sin and death. That was his the main purpose of Christ coming into this world. When those who fed in verse 34, when those who fed them saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what had happened and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also who had seen it told them by what means he had been demon-possessed, by what means who had been demon-possessed was healed. Then the whole multitude of the surrounding regions of the Gadarenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear, and he got into the boat and returned. How do we react when Jesus touches things that are precious to us? The people of this city were more concerned about the pigs, the swine, their businesses, than the soul of one man. However, the Bible records that there is great rejoicing in heaven. The angels, they rise up in applause when one soul comes to the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The host of heaven rise up in praise of what God had done. Are the hosts of heaven rejoicing over you, over your soul today? When are you going to surrender your life completely unto Jesus? Are you going to allow these people to rejoice over you and run Jesus out of town? How do we react? This is a question that we have to ask ourselves. When Christ touches our bad habits, our sins, our businesses, there's some things that we do that is not pleasing to the Lord, and God wants to have his presence. He wants to have a way in all these areas. When he touches things that are preventing us from serving him to the fullness, how do we react? Do we say, Jesus, come? Or do we say, this is a no-go area? How do we react? And when Christ comes into our lives, he will touch everything. Everything that pertains to us. He wants everything, our total loyalty, our total commitment. But how do we react when it touches the way we do our parties? Do we party like people of the world? You know, we've been in our Bible study, we just finished the book of Colossians, and in chapter 3, there were a lot of things. You know, this book was written to the church in Colossae. And is it Colossae or Colossians? Whatever, you know what? Yeah. So, but, you know, Christ, you know, and Paul was now teaching them that now that you have become believers, put aside all these things, lying, our old nature, you know, backbiting, quarreling, sexual desire, sexual sin, habits. These were to Christians he was writing. It wasn't to unbelievers. So there is a putting off that we have to do. Christ wants every single part of us. The way we raise our kids, the way we choose our careers, how we choose our careers, everything has to be to the glory of Christ. Or are we saying to Christ, don't touch this area? Are we saying to Christ, this you can go here, but don't go there? Christ wants our all in all. I want us to contrast this quickly to the story that we read in John chapter 4, the story of the woman, the Samaritan woman, that Jesus met at the well. John chapter 4, and I'll pick up from verse 39. It says that many of the Samaritans, we know that story from of when Christ was met this woman at the well, and he spoke with her. And many of the Samaritans of that city, many of the Samaritans of that city believed him in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed of his own word. And they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." This is also a Gentile city that Christ went into, met this woman at the well, and she received Christ and went and told the people of that city, and they came out and heard Christ himself speak, knowing that, yeah, this is indeed the Messiah to come. And look at their reaction. They urged Christ to stay with them some more days. And Christ did stay with them. The prayers that we pray, God Christ answers it one way or the other. If we say, "Don't go this area," he will not go. He will leave us to ourselves. But when we permit him in our lives, he will stay with us further. Are we asking Christ to stay with us further? Or are we telling him not to? Christ answered even the prayer of those demons. They say, "Please don't send us into the abyss, send us into the swine." He answered that prayer. The silent prayers that we don't even say out, that we are saying with our actions, he will answer it. If we are not praying that he fills our lives, he will not fill our lives. But when we pray that, "God, Christ, please fill my life. Take it over. These things that I'm doing that I don't want to do, take it away from me," he will answer those prayers. But are we sincerely asking Christ to come into our lives, to take over our lives completely? These are questions we have to answer, every one of us. Another story that is the story of Lydia in Acts chapter 16, verse 14. Acts 16, the story recorded of Lydia the purple seller. "Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to hear the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.' So she persuaded us. And Paul did stay with this family for a couple of days before he left." In Acts 16, verse 16 to 21, "Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, 'These men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaimed to us the way of salvation.' And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of that, and he came out that very hour. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them before the marketplace to the authorities. And the story after that was that they were in prison, they were flogged, they were beaten, and persecuted. It's the same story as what we read in Luke 8. What is our reaction when Christ comes into our lives? How do we react when he touches not so moral businesses or businesses that are not, that don't sit well with his plan, eternal plan of salvation for us? Do we yield it over to him? Christ will touch every part of our lives. And these are some of the things that we have to be willing to give up for the sake of our salvation. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
In Luke, let's turn back to Luke. Verse 28, now the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you. And he went his own way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great thing Jesus has done for him. Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you. We may not all be called to be worldwide evangelists or pastors or prophets, but yet Christ has called us to do certain, to play a certain role for others, to others, to testify of what we have seen, what we have enjoyed, what we have experienced, maybe to your neighbor, to your family, to your children, to your spouses. You may not have a commission to go into the whole world, but you may have a commission to go to back to your family, to go back to your children, to go back to your city, to your neighbors, to your street, and declare what God has done for you. This man prayed that he will follow Christ. He would have thought that, oh, Christ would say, yeah, okay, come. Let's go. Come with me. Let's. But Christ said, no. This city that who have pushed me away, who has pushed me out, you are going to be the witness to this particular city. Are we obeying what Christ is telling us to do? Are we being the voice of Christ in our household? Are we being the feet of Christ to the people, to our community that he has sent us to? Or are we doing our own thing? To some, he called, like Paul, he said he's going to be persecuted. He's made his own calling right from day one on the day of Damascus. Christ called him that he was going to be his mouthpiece to the whole world. And that's what Paul did. He fulfilled that promise, that commission. And that's why Paul would say that I have run my race, I've finished my course. Now I wish a crown of glory. So as I conclude tonight, are we in the place where Christ wants us to be? Are we preaching to our families, to our spouses, to our husbands, to our wives? Or are we being quiet? Are we preaching, oh, young ones who are in school, are you taking the gospel of Christ to your fellow students? Are you finding ways in which you can share the gospel of Christ, of what Christ has done in your life to them, of how Christ delivered you, how Christ saved you? Are you declaring that to your friends, to your families? May the Lord help us to do what he has called us to do.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I will stop here. And are there any questions from anybody? If I may not, as Brother Agbelusi said last week, if I may not be able to answer them, there are reverends and reverences in our midst who are much learned in the Word of God than I am to answer questions. Are there any questions from anybody before we pray?
I have a question. I'm just throwing it out there. We've been learning so much about, telling our friends, telling our neighbors, the people we see. I mean, can anyone maybe share with us? I don't know. How do you do it? Have you been able to speak to anyone? Has it happened to you? You're walking. Is it walking down the grocery store? You know, because this is one of the things we've been talking about, that we really want to let the people around us, our neighbors, our family know. Is anybody willing to share with us maybe their experience? Have they been able to share maybe in the past few weeks with anybody that they've seen that the Lord has allowed them to? So at least we can learn from that, that it is doable. We can, speak and proclaim the name of God to the people that we see.
You can unmute and share if you want to respond.
I have some background noise, but I'll just share real quick. I'll make it short because there's some noise here. But I just wanted to talk about being able to share with the Lyft drivers that I've been in lately. I traveled about, I think, a week or almost 2 weeks ago now. And as I was in the plane, I was just praying that God just give me opportunities to share. I just feel like a lot of times we're focused, or I am focused on what I'm there to do, and I'm not necessarily looking out for those opportunities to share. And so I was praying about that. And so when I got down at the airport and I took a lift and I was on my way to the hotel, that prompting kept coming to my heart that, okay, this is your opportunity, because the Lyft driver kept talking to me, and he was talking and talking and talking. And I was like, okay, how am I going to stop him from just talking and let me just bring in what I want to say? And somehow I started by just asking him if he goes to church. And he said, talked about how he was raised in the church and all that. And I just shared with him the fact that it's just not about going to church, but really about having a personal relationship with Jesus. And he talked about how he's working on it. He knows that he can do better. And I said that we only have this life, and this is the time to do better. And I know that if I didn't, I would have spent the rest of that day saying, ah, Shadi, that was the opportunity. Why didn't you speak? And somehow the Lord helped me. And that's what I keep praying for these days. I feel like for me, it's the boldness, because a lot of times I'm caught up in what I'm doing, and I don't consciously remember that I can speak about Christ even in the mundane day-to-day situation. So I've just been praying that the Lord will help me to be his mouthpiece wherever he places me.
Thank you, Sister Shadi. Sister Wura, I think you wanted to say something earlier as well.
I was going to say that sometimes it's very difficult to actually talk to people. But one thing I've learned is you can use tracts to actually break the ice. I have my bag, I have my cosmetics and everything in my handbag, but I always carry tracts around. So you may never know where you have to share or where you have to talk to people. I think I've spoken to somebody in Costco before, and you know, I gave her a tract. And recently I go within my neighborhood, I go for walks. And I think it was day before yesterday, that I came across a lady that I spoke with, and I regretted that I didn't even have a track. Although I spoke, it took a lot of courage for me to actually spoke with her. But at the end of that, I was like, oh, I forgot my track. So from today, I've made up my mind, I'll just put some in my pocket. Whosoever I'm able to talk to, I'll give them. If they are not able, you know, it's coronavirus era. You know, people may not want you to really start talking to them. So I'll just give you a tract or something. So that's just, it's difficult, but we just have to pray that God will help us to act. And you will be surprised that people are very receptive sometimes. They are very friendly. They are eager to hear sometimes. Yeah, sometimes some people will insult you, but you've already sown the seed. You just go your way.
Thank you, Sister Wura. Does anybody else have anything to share on this? Yeah, so, you know, as Paul usually will pray that the Lord would give him boldness to share his word, we also have to have that mindset that we always have to constantly pray that the Lord will teach us what to say, and how to say it. And he would, when we...
Hello?
Hello? And when we do have this heart of seeking, you know, wanting to share, the Lord would bring opportunities. Please, can you help us?
Well, Peter, I think it's Mommy Afon that wants to chime in on your question.
Okay.
Mommy, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I've been having this urge too, but since I'm always at home most of the time, what I've resulted in doing is that every opportunity that I have to speak, or let me say, most opportunity that I have to speak with people, either my relations or my children, any opportunity that I have to talk, most of the time, maybe they are talking about something, I will quickly relate it to their relationship with God. I will tell them that this thing that you are talking about, do you know that there is a way out of it? The only way of it out of it is Jesus Christ. He said we should ask. You ask, you talk to him, you believe, and continue to pray about it. There's a verse that I use these days that Jesus said, continue to ask until your joy is full. So I encourage them, like those who are like my nephew, my nieces who are in school, who have just started life, I always tell them when they complain about something, I always tell them that this is the only way out of this thing, the only way you can move forward, the only way you can get what you want, the only way you can enjoy this new place that you don't know what happened there is by getting closer to God. You have accepted Jesus Christ. If they have not accepted, I will encourage them. If the person that has been brought up in the way of the Lord, I will say, I will encourage them in the way of the Lord. So this is the way I've been doing it. So let none of us say that I have no opportunity to tell others about Christ. Thank you.
Thank you, Mommy. Okay, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word this afternoon. We give you praise, O Lord. Lord, we confess our shortcomings before you, Lord. And we pray that, Lord, you continue to work on us, Father. That you continue to mold us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that, Lord, you put in our hearts inventions, O Lord, or ways in which we can reach out to our families, to our neighborhood, to people around us, and share of the glory of the goodness of Christ, of what you have done in our lives. We pray for the spirit of boldness. We pray that, Lord, you will put your words on our lips. We pray that we will indeed even experience you, Father. For it's out of what we witness, out of what we experience, out of it we will share with others. As you committed this man who was delivered of the spirit of demons, and you told him to go and share with his people the goodness of Christ. We pray that, Father, that when we have met with you, we'll be able to share of what you have done in our lives. Father, fill our hearts with joy, fill our hearts with love. Let us continue to experience you every day, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. We pray for family members who do not yet know you, Father. We pray for our neighbors who do not yet know you, Lord. We pray that, Lord, you soften their hearts, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. We pray that, Lord Jehovah, you extend your arm, your hand of salvation to everyone, as is recorded, as we learned in this story. This man was completely lost. He didn't know where he was going or when he was coming. But Father, in your grace, in your mercy, you reached out to this lost soul. And as the word of the Lord is recorded, that there's great joy in heaven when that one lost soul comes back to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that, Father, we know that unless you call, no one can come unto you. We pray that, Lord Jehovah, you please extend this salvation to every single one of us, O Lord, to every single one of us, to our children, to our spouses, to our friends, to our family, to our neighbors, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let us be your true disciples indeed. Let us be your witnesses indeed. We pray that, Lord, when the word of God gets tough, as we read in the Bible reading today in John chapter 6, that many turned back. We pray that, Lord, we will not turn back, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. That we will indeed eat your flesh and drink your blood. We would indeed be diffused into you, Father. That when people see us, they won't see the difference between us and Christ, O Lord. That will be molded into your perfect image in the name of Jesus. Help us, Father. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.